This is MSONewsSports.com, and it is Thanksgiving Day. Hello from New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And this morning, we have high school football on Thanksgiving Day, the traditional game between Danvers and Gloucester High School. And this broadcast brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plashtown, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Arrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Mandruga, see Bob for all your tax preparation needs. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. By the Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn. By Columbia Insurance of Lynn. By the Port Hole Restaurant, a North Shore dining landmark. By the Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And by the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the Daily Item serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, it's a beautiful morning. It's very mild outside, very windy, with the wind blowing off the harbor straight behind the Danvers bench into the Gloucester's bench and directly into the booth. But it's a gorgeous day, sunshine, warm temperatures. It's up around 51, 52 already. And Paul, Danvers coming off a very tough loss to Melrose. Boy, they played well. But a great season for Danvers, and Gloucester trying to finish with an exclamation point with each team with eight wins.
Right, Rick. Melrose was a fine opponent, and Danvers played hard, and it looked like at the beginning of the game they'd do fine, but I think that they got worn down, and even by halftime you could see there was a difference in the intensity. So, but this game means a lot, and I think it looks like Danvers is pretty healthy. The question mark would be Andreas. He started the game against Melrose, and then I think he re-injured his ankle, and he was out before you know it. So, but I've watched him warming up. He doesn't seem to be limping at all, so we'll see what happens with him.
Well, yeah, and this time of year, everybody's got bumps and bruises, and that will be the key. Got a couple of interviews coming up, one with an assistant Gloucester coach, the other with head coach Tony Zerilli. Due to the fact I got a little behind schedule this morning, I wasn't able to talk with Coach Terrio of Danvers, but I did see him on Tuesday, and he was very optimistic, Paul, about everybody being healthy, including Danny Lynch and Matt Andreas. But we'll see as time unfolds. Again, beautiful morning. It's Thanksgiving morning. It's the 37th time I've done this. It's we're celebrating the end of our 10th year at MSO, and this is our 11th Thanksgiving broadcast. So it's pretty exciting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah, I think it's great for, especially for those people that are not local and they can still watch the game and hear about the game.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, we will take a break. Don't forget, over on Channel B, it's Lynn English versus Lynn Classical. And, of course, Marty Smith will be reporting on that over there to Bill and Tim about the Beverly-Salem game. So we will keep an eye on that as well. Take our first break. Come back with some coaches' interviews. It's Thanksgiving morning. Glad you're with us.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're a high school football fan, it just doesn't get any better than this. Whatever your game preference may be, whether it's Salem-Beverly, Danvers-Gloucester, or Ipswich-Hamilton-Wenham, a football game in the AM, followed by a turkey dinner with family and close friends, is just a great recipe for a perfect day. From all of us at Moynihan Lumber, enjoy this day. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink and chill
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
With Fisherman's Forecast, I'm Rick Moore, along with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli. And coach, as we walk to the field, the days may seem to be long and drag, but the weeks sure do fly by. I mean, we were out here in shorts, and August was just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, season goes quick, you know. You get into a routine where, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you do the same thing every week, and the game's on Friday nights, and before you know it, you're 11 weeks in, and it's Thanksgiving, and you're preparing for your Thanksgiving Day arrival.
Well, coach, if you look back on this team, you had some young kids coming in. I'm sure some kids who had never played before, but you had some older kids too who seemed to be ready to take over the leadership role. And looks like that's pretty much what happened. Did they not take over and help the younger kids out? So you got a pretty veteran team now.
Yeah, the big question going into this year was our offensive line, and I think they really gelled. A lot of them played last year, but due to injuries, some of them missed a portion of the season, and this year we've been able to stay really healthy on that front, and they've really gelled as a unit, and they've allowed our running backs to find the holes and pick up some yards, and I think our offense has played pretty well this year.
All right, before we look ahead to Danvers, maybe looking back in is there a particular game, that was really significant? I mean, to me it looks like the two Beverly games stand out, but also the classical game. But how do you look back on it?
I think the Beverly game, the second one, was really really went to show what this team's all about. You know, you lose to a team early in the season, 35-0, and, we scheduled Beverly early in the season because we knew they were going to be a tough opponent, and they were going to show us, what we really had. And to come out of that game with a 35-0 loss, I think it really showed our kids what they had to do, what time they had to put in to be better. And I think we improved throughout the season so that we ran into them again in the playoffs. I thought we put a really good game plan together and the kids executed it well, and I think that just showed how much better we have gotten over the course of the year. And I think that's what you try to do as a coach. Coming into the season, especially high school football, you never know what you have, because you graduate kids and this kid misses for this reason or this kid's out for that reason, and it's kind of a mixed bag. You don't really know what you have until you start the season. But what your goal is that regardless of how you start the season, you want to get better every week. And I think that's, going from Beverly and beginning of the year to better than the end of the year really showed our progress.
And as it turns out, Tony, the only large school that you won't be facing this year is Lynn English. Because of the playoffs and other reasons, you faced everybody in the upper echelon and competed very, very well. Marblehead, the only team really to shut you out, but still, you competed well, and now you got one more shot against Danvers.
Well, Peabody, too. Don't forget Peabody.
Yeah.
We scrimmaged them early in the year, but we didn't actually officially play them.
Right. I did forget Peabody. Thanks.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have.
But, that's kind of the way the Northeast Conference coaches kind of wanted this thing to go. When they told us we were only going to have seven games, and then, we'd have to schedule our own two games, and there was going to be, five division games, and then we'd have to schedule two games, a lot of the coaches looked around the room and said, well, there's a lot of rivalries on the other league, and me being one of the coaches, said, hey, I want to play Northeast Conference schools, and I think a lot of those other schools said the same thing. So, for instance, I scheduled Classical, and I scheduled Beverly, and I know other coaches did that as well. So, in reality, you get at least seven games against the Northeast Conference, plus your Thanksgiving rival, so it's always going to be eight games against the Northeast Conference, and when you only have 12 teams, you almost play everybody, and then when the playoffs come in, some other teams kind of play into that. But I like that. You know, I've always been a Northeast Conference guy. You know, I grew up in the system. I still believe in playing all those teams if you had the opportunity to. So we try to make it happen as best as possible.
You know, and the way Revere played this year, too, it elevated that North quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there's a lot of good teams in the Northeast Conference. Across the board, I think it showed, you know, three of the last four teams were, you know, Northeast Conference teams. And I think that in our division, and I think it just goes to prove that, you know, we have good football. We play good football up here, and I think, you know, we're going to continue to have good football in the Northeast Conference. It's good competition.
Okay, let's turn attention to Danvers. They have played so well this year. They ran into a buzzsaw last Friday night against Melrose. Looks like they ran out of a little steam. And, they've had, Andreas has been banged up and so on. But what a tremendous effort they put together on both sides of the ball this year with a lot of, talk about leadership, a lot of leadership and a lot of hard, tough play.
Yeah, he's got Coach Terriot's got a good senior crew over there. They've had a lot of obstacles to not having a home field, you know, to not really having a practice facility. And that takes a strong leadership from your senior class to kind of pull that together. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that makes you bond. You know, I remember being on the 96 team here. And we didn't have a field. We played at practice at Fuller School. We carred over there, bussed over there every day. And that team went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. And I think that just made the unit a lot tighter. And I think that's what he's got going on over there. Those kids feel like they're the underdogs, feel like they don't have much, and they're just fighters, and they're a good football team. They have talent across the board. They're big and strong up front. It's going to be a battle tomorrow, and it should be a good game.
And finally, Tony, last day for seniors. Do you try to get everybody into the game, all the seniors into the game, if that's possible?
Absolutely. If possible, try to get every one of them in. I mean, we only have 10 or 11 of them, and they're all pretty much starters anyway, so I don't think we'll have a problem with that. You know, so I think most of the seniors will play quite significantly tomorrow. We had our last technically home game before Thanksgiving last weekend against Winthrop, and I think they all played there as well. So, you know, our senior classes, we have a good senior class, and they all contribute. So they'll all be on the field at some point.
All right, Tony, good luck and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
That's Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli with MSNewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're a high school football fan, it just doesn't get any better than this. Whatever your game preference may be, whether it's Salem-Beverly, Danvers-Gloucester, or Ipswich-Hamilton-Wenham, a football game in the AM, followed by a turkey dinner with family and close friends, is just a great recipe for a perfect day. From all of us at Moynihan Lumber, enjoy this day. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Moynihan Lumber.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
All right, we are back, and a very anxious Paul Ingram here, ready to get going. Thank you, Phil. Phil Brody is MIAA official, bringing us the officials down on the field today. We'll get that in a second. But, Paul, you know, full season, you put in almost 3.5 months of practice, of games, of long hours, Sundays, and so on as a coach. And then here it is Thanksgiving morning. So what are the feelings like?
Well, it's mixed feelings, you know. Obviously, the game is big, get a big crowd, all the kids come back, you know, from college that played previous years, so you really want to play well, and you want to win the game, and the thing is, you know, this is probably it for most of the players,
right,
you know,
right.
This will be their final, at least for the seniors. So it's tough, and it's a very different day. You play in the morning, you get up early. You haven't played in a while, except for Danvers, played last Friday because of the situation now with the playoffs. I would say that for the people listening out there, Jerry Callahan writes a great article that I think the Herald puts in every year about your last football game, Thanksgiving Day. And every year, I think for 11 years now or so, they put it in the paper. And if you Google it, it really, especially if you played football, it really hits home with your feelings and, you know, what an important day it is.
Sort of like the Yes Virginia editorial that goes, I think it's in the Globe every year, but Yes Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Okay.
That was first published in the 1800s.
Yeah.
No, it is. And, you know, that's an experience for almost 100% of people in this country. We pretty much all go to high school, and we have that last day of something or other. And the thing about football, Paul, you've participated in many different sports, but football is different because of the collision factor, because of the violence, I think.
Well, I think the practices, for the most part, are hard. That's not good.
Okay. Okay. Well, Isaiah Clark is bringing the trophy onto the field for the Danvers Falcons and holding it high over his head like the Stanley Cup as the Falcons come onto the field. So we'll get ready for football here. We're going to take another quick break as it's turned into a beautiful sunny day. Again, the wind coming off the harbor straight ahead of us, which will be behind the Danvers bench, blowing into the stands, and the stands are crowded. They're packed. Lots of people here, as you might expect. So it's going to be a great day for football. Thank you for joining us in the pregame show, sponsored by Moynihan Lumber and a bunch of other people as well. We'll be back with football. Don't forget, over on Channel B, Lynn English and Lynn Classical with reports out of Beverly-Salem and other scores as well. So stay tuned for high school football on MSONewsSports.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're a high school football fan, it just doesn't get any better than this. Whatever your game preference may be, whether it's Salem-Beverly, Danvers-Gloucester, or Ipswich-Hamilton-Wenham, a football game in the AM, followed by a turkey dinner with family and close friends, is just a great recipe for a perfect day. From all of us at Moynihan Lumber, enjoy this day. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga
for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts. The only way to go.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, welcome back to New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we're going to have a late start here as we're awaiting the re-arrival of the Gloucester Fishermen. Danvers waiting patiently on the far sidelines. A little past 10 o'clock, the color guard is ready to go for the national anthem and so on. And Tim Kearns is requiring me to give a shout-out to Tim Oakes, his friend from Gloucester. And Tim, hello. Tim Oakes, that is, hello. We want to say hello and happy Thanksgiving to daughter Sue as well. And hope you guys are enjoying the game, watching it on our live streaming video. Alex Sanfilippo is our streamographer this morning, and we appreciate Alex's being here and always does a fantastic job for us as the Gloucester Fishermen are now arriving on the field. The Gloucester coming in with a record of 8-2. Danvers has a record of 8-3. The Falcons played on Friday night in a broadcast game that is available on demand as they succumb to Melrose. Melrose going on down to Gillette. And I guess for the fifth year, we won't be going to Gillette. But, Paul, that was a lot of fun. How do you handle Thanksgiving? You had to go into the playoffs after Thanksgiving, didn't you?
Right. We would have our Thanksgiving Day game. And then that night I'd go, and whoever we were going to play on Tuesday night or afternoon late, our playoff game, and then we'd play at Gillette Stadium if we won on the following Saturday. So that after the game, I would contact the coach we were going to play. We'd meet and exchange films, and you know, the very next morning we'd get together and the coaching staff and put our game plan together, watch the films. You weren't allowed to hit during the week, so that we'd get the kids in, we'd watch a lot of film, and whether or not we felt it was important to watch the Thanksgiving Day game, usually we'd run through it pretty quick. And we'd practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, play Tuesday afternoon. And then if you won, you would get film exchange the next day on Wednesday. Thursday, they would have a nice dinner at Gillette Stadium for the coaches and okay. the players, which was great. They do the coin toss then, too.
So not a whole lot of sleep in that 10-day period.
Yeah, but, you know, the adrenaline's flowing anyways.
Right.
So, you know, they always said too many games in too few days, but I never felt it was that, you know. We were so excited about being in the playoffs and playing at Gillette that you got by that pretty quickly.
Well, you guys always won, too, so I think that makes a difference.
No,
makes it a little easier.
Duxbury.
Well, except for Duxbury. Okay, the captains are meeting at the center of the field, and it was very nice to see the captains on Tuesday of this Danvers Gloucester game. As they have their annual luncheon over the Elks, hosted by the Kiwanis.
And Danvers will be kicking off from left to right. And again, it's a cross breeze. It's coming from sideline to sideline from the ocean behind Danvers toward the Gloucester bench and toward the stands. And Larry Bernemart, PA announcer here, of course, a very loud PA here in Gloucester, but just another beautiful facility as we get ready for the playing of our national anthem.
They consist of cadet privates Samantha Gross, Rachel Zarilla, Stephen Brown, Jennifer Dalton, and commanded by sophomore cadet sergeant Sue Ono.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, there we go. We are ready for football, and welcome to New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. Danvers will be kicking off from left to right. The sun baking the field right now, so it sort of splashes out with a mirror effect, the inside hash marks from about the 40-yard line to the goal line on the Danvers zone. High tide, a Gloucester lobster boat just went by above the field. Always funny when you're on the field looking up at boats going by, and I do mean looking up. All right, here we go. Gloucester will deploy down to the right. Danvers kicking off from the left-hand side.
Well, the strength of Danvers is their defense, so they won the toss and they elected to defer.
Yep.
So we'll see. It's all a try and hold Gloucester and make them punt and get good field position. So we'll see if that works out for them.
All right, David Zebek is the kicker. He's a junior, 5'10", 160. And back for Gloucester, Alex Enos, one of the captains, and also Patrick Goss is back for Gloucester. And the wind really howling right now. Don't know what the...
I think it's coming across the field. Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, it really doesn't make a difference to either team.
Referee is Joe Donovan, according to Phil Brody. Thanks, Phil. Umpire is Dave Regis. Line judge today is Mark Petropoulos. Henry Breckenridge is the linesman, and Al Guido is the back judge. So, still waiting for the kickoff, as looks like they might have to hold the ball due to the wind. Colby Holland is actually going to hold it onto the tee. To get on the correct side. He was on the wrong side there. Right-footed kicker is Zebek. So a tremendous crowd still coming in, and we've had some good crowds, and we'll see if the wind requires that crowd mic to come inside. Anyway, Zebek gets a high, short kick that Enos will field and go out of bounds at the 16-yard line.
Well, he caught it inbounds, but he was so close to the sideline, it took him out. He might have let that go and be a penalty.
I think the wind did catch it.
I think
that
so
was an
too.
Effect there.
Yeah.
It was down the middle of the field, and it just kind of faded very quickly to the right of the kicker. So the fisherman will start off, and
one of the strengths of Danvers' defense is not just their front seven, it's their secondary, too. They really come up quick and play the run hard.
Andrew Almirall is returning to the lineup for Gloucester after being out with an injury. First play is Christian Sanfilippo off of left tackle, and he goes all the way out to the 24-yard line.
Just an off-tackle play into the boundary.
Coach Walsh does not have his shorts on. He's got long pants on today. No, he does have his shorts on. I see him now, assistant coach Walsh. But He was hollering something over there. And the fishermen break the huddle right away. Jacob Emerson at center. Tommy Donahue, one of the guards, an unsung hero for Gloucester, according to the coaching staff. Quarterback is Mike Cody, and it's a run play to the left halfback, Jermaine Edward. Close to the first down.
Jeremy Keenan, the soft quarterback, is to gain to the 26 and a first down.
All right, there it is. Just enough for the first down. So Gloucester driving from right to left. They got the all-red uniforms on, a la Kansas City Chiefs, and Danvers is in the all-white uniforms with the blue falcon on the helmet. Jacob Emerson, Tom Donahue, Andrew Amaral, Kyle Acapel,
okay,
Jake
Schrock. This is on balance line. Danvers shifting over.
With a split backfield. On the near hash mark, Gloucester from right to left. First down, long count, Cody. Hand off to Sanfilippo, sweeping the right. And he bounces it out to the 32 or 33.
So the tight end and the split end were on the same side, so that makes it an unbalanced line. And Danvers shifted over, but Gloucester still found a hole. That's just a basic sweep.
Six-yard gain. It's second and six. Danvers, of course, everybody familiar with what Gloucester wants to do, and we'll see if Gloucester does anything different. And same thing for Danvers, running primarily out of what has been delicately called the Wildcat. We'll see who the quarterback is when they... When they get the ball, Philpott is on the near side to the left. He's the tight end. And Cody is under center of the wing off to the right. Danvers bringing a linebacker up toward the center. Hand off to the first back, and that must be Edward. Maybe. That's it.
The one thing you don't want to do calling plays is get in a pattern from game to game that, you know, you tend to run outside twice, then inside. And good coaches will pick that up, and they'll adjust their defense to those calls. So let's see. Gloucester's got third and about four.
Marco Lambina, Lagambina rather, had him the other day, and he's the nose guard, Kyle Warren. Zach Schutz up front on defense. Linebackers are Johnson, Moriarty, and Holland. Okay, second down. Run by running play, Sanfilippo. Oh, close to the first down. I think he got it.
So it looks like Gloucester's getting a push off the line of scrimmage here because
they get it.
Third and four off tackle play.
Just enough, just what they needed. They got the 4 down, the 4 yards rather. 8 minutes left to go. Phil Brody on the clock, and he actually has yards and down and distance for us today. Happy for that with a thumbs up. Okay. On the far hash mark, first drive of the games. 8 minutes left to go, first quarter, no score. Cody with a split backfield. And it's another run play. Sanfilippo slips and goes to the right and gets a yard.
Christian Sanfilippo.
Well, Gloucester's run to the right. Not sure every play, but just about. And I think Isaiah Clark is on this side. He's their big defensive end. So they're probably running away from him, I would assume.
And when you say big, we're talking 6'5", 270. Number 77, standing tall over everybody else, standing up on that defensive line. Enos is in motion. Now he'll sweep to the left, following some blockers, trying to get outside, turn the corner. Can't do it. And I think he stopped pretty close to the line of scrimmage. Good tackle that time by Danny Lynch.
Well, that's Danvers. One of their strengths is their secondary just comes up and avoids blockers and are good tacklers. So it puts Gloucester in third and about seven.
Well, yeah, they gets it over to the 41, so it is almost a 3-yard game. So this will be the eighth play of the drive. Tremendous crowd here. It's very mild temperatures, very windy, you know, with the wind coming off the water, but still a gorgeous Thanksgiving morning. Wing to the right, in motion, Enos, and it's a handoff up the middle. Jermaine Edward fighting for yardage, and close to the 45. The 45, but 4 yards short of the first down.
Well, they ran the jet on the previous play, and that time they faked it. They ran ISO. And I'm not sure Gloucester's going to punt. They might go for it.
Kevin Moriarty up on the defensive line as well.
Yeah.
All right, so they've got five or six guys up. Yeah, they're going to go for it. They've got fourth down and long three at their own 45-yard line. Here we go. This is interesting. Beginning of the game with the wind cross breeze. It's a run play. San Filippo sweeping to the right. He got it. First down by about a yard.
Well, it's a lot of confidence.
And the players on the stop for the Falcons.
The offensive line, and they...
About 4 yards. And if there's any doubt about Andreas playing, he's playing on defense and made that tackle. Matt Andreas, Jr., quarterback and defensive player for Danvers. Excuse me. Ball.
Well, this is what Gloucester wants to do, just eat up the clock and keep moving the ball and getting first downs. Unbalanced line again.
Well, they've had the ball for 5.5 minutes or 4.5 minutes so far. 5.5 left to go. Long count as Danvers brings everybody up on the line. Hand off to Edward up the middle. And he gets good yardage across 50 to the 45 of Danvers. Well, Paul, nothing new. It's all the standard Gloucester offense so far.
Yeah, just execute it. I mean, you don't have to change your offense. You just have to execute it.
It's at the 46, not the 45. Looking out at the... Harbor, the Outer Harbor out toward the breakwater. Just a beautiful day with the sun shining brightly now after a cloudy start. Again, left halfback, right halfback, hand off to San Filippo, the right halfback going to his left. He's tripped up and stays alive and gets it to the 44.
He's got good balance. He's hard to knock off his feet, at least by one player. So I assume this is going to be four down territory.
Well, you would think so if it was on the other side of the 50.
Yeah, on the other side of the 50. So
the American flag just flying straight out down off to our left by the scoreboard. Scoreboard clock still moving. 4:13 left to go first quarter. No score. Gloucester has had the ball since the outset with 1 second off the clock to start. They got the ball at 10:59. So it is a third down and a long three to go for Gloucester. Handoff inside. Edward pounds forward close to the first down. So it's at the 42.
Yeah, but it's probably less than a foot to go.
Oh, yeah, I see it on the far. Yeah, the yard marker. So, yeah, it's another fourth down for Gloucester.
Requesting that the officials measure it. I mean, you never know what's going to happen on fourth down. You say, well, Gloucester will get it. Well, you don't know if they'll fumble or a penalty, so you might as well see if it really isn't a first down.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, we'd like to show some thanks and some good love.
Well, 7.5 minutes on this drive.
Who's been volunteering all season long across the sidelines. Great job all season.
Stretch the chains. Inches. And it's short by inches. Gloucester do the quarterback sneak at all, Paul?
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, Danvers has got that huge defensive line.
Yeah, well... Generally, the quarterback sneak, you actually don't just follow the center. You kind of take one step back and kind of look for the opening.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears they're going to run it now.
All right, what do we got? A power eye formation here? Power eye. Actually, it's an offset eye. It is the sneak. They go forward. I think there's momentum to get the first down. Cody kept it. Yep, got it.
And he gets it out for a touchdown.
Well... Oh, this is relentless. We're down at 3:21, another fourth down conversion, and they're still way out at the Danvers 40. This will be the 14th play of the drive. Got it at their own 16. They're out at the 40, but they keep moving.
I would say this is what Gloucester wants.
Well, yeah. What do you call that on schedule?
Yep.
On schedule. So here we go. Now back to the split backfield with it unbalanced to the right. We get the slot to the right. Receiver off to the right. And it's an inside handoff. Edward hit at the line of scrimmage and still goes forward for yardage to about the 37.
I think that was Latassa actually at fullback.
Really? Well, already then. Andrew Latassa, number 48, into the game for the first time. Giving a new look.
Well, Latassa is a senior, too, so I assume that the coaches are going to... There's not a lot of drop-off, believe me, between Latassa and Edward.
Mm-hmm.
They're both pretty good.
All right, we're down to 2:24 with the clock moving, and it's second down and 7 to go. Almost a 3-yard gain for Latassa. Ball on the far hash mark. This time, gonna wing off to the left, and it's going to be a run play. Sanfilippo trying to get back to the line of scrimmage, and does a good job to do just that, as he was tackled by Taj Coakley.
So far, it's been a pretty clean game. There hasn't been a penalty, has there?
Oh, you shouldn't have said that, Coach. You know there has not. Yeah, there has not. You know better than that. Third down and seven.
The Panthers 37.
Clock moving. A minute and 40 left to go in the first quarter. Danvers has not touched the football yet on offense. My goodness. Third down. And play action. Cody wants to throw. Pump fakes. It's tipped and intercepted at the 30-yard line. As that was taken by Quinton Holland, who made a big interception against Melrose on Friday night. And that ends the drive.
He threw into covered players.
Yeah, well, I think it looked like it was a terrible pass. I didn't know he got tipped or he just lost it. So that was a 16-play drive that goes for naught, and now Danvers takes over first down at their own 32.
After halftime this morning,
123, so almost 10 minutes of clock time, and they came up empty. All right, let's see who the quarterback is. It's a direct snap.
Andreas.
Yep. And it's Andreas into the game, and he's hauled down after about a one-yard gain.
Andreas.
And
what happens is they spread out the defense, and so therefore they got
they gave 2 to 33.
Every, inside they got every defender blocked except the one. So you just got to beat that one guy.
So Andreas is the quarterback. He's 5'11 junior, 180. Bruno Abatessa, Marco Lagambina, Steve Guzzo, Zach Schutz, and Isaiah Clark up front for Danvers. And again, in the shotgun, going to be a run play for Andreas going off of left tackle. That's a bread and butter play, and he gets good yardage out to the 40. Maybe the 39.
Yeah. You know, it kind of looks like they're just taking the ball and just running it up the middle, but they're actually, the people are trapping, they're creating angles. So there's more to it than it appears. I think they have a very athletic offensive line that does a lot of pulling. And
15 seconds, clock moving. This I don't know if we're going to get this last play off. Down to 10. Danvers up to the line of scrimmage with twins off to the near side right. And it's going to be a run play for Andreas. Picks a spot and gets close to the first down as time expires. That was Lynch, I guess.
That was Lynch, yeah.
Okay. So we'll check the spot, see if they got the first down. And it's out to the 41, and we will take a break after one quarter of play. Here in Gloucester, there is no score on this beautiful Thanksgiving morning. We'll be back.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Well, we're getting ready to start the second quarter. Danvers gets the first down, barely. It's at the 42 of the Falcons. No score. Gloucester putting together almost a 10-minute drive and 16 plays, but came up with nothing as a result of a turnover. So now Danvers with a chance to get on the board and on their first offensive series.
Just like to mention, Rick, the donor board of the people that donated at least $1,000 is up here. Acknowledging those people that contributed to the new balance field.
All right. Okay, so it's, again, direct snap, high snap to Andreas, pulls it down, rolls to the right, going outside and gets about 4 or 5 yards, almost a mix-up with Lynch in the backfield.
Yeah, that was a broken play. The timing on that is pretty precise. You got a guy going in motion at full speed, and the ball has to arrive at the quarterback just when he's to the right of the quarterback. So it was a high snap.
I'm going to put the ball at the 46. It'll be second and six on the far hash mark. And now the Falcons are moving away from the canal, just underway in the second quarter.
Both Andreas and Lynch can make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nestor split wide to the left side, wide out wide to the right. And we still have the one back in the backfield. This time it's a hand up. No, it's a keeper by Andreas on the option, I think. And Andreas gets it to about the 48. 2 yard gain. So, Paul, was that an option or design?
I think it's an option. He reads somebody, probably a defensive end. And if the defensive end goes outside, he keeps the ball. If the defensive end comes inside, he gets the ball.
Okay. All right, so it is at the 48. And it'll be, what do we got, third down and four? Almost five.
Now, one of the things that Danvers did against Gloucester last year was run that tight wildcat formation, which we might see right now. And it's just really power. That's what they're running. It's just power football.
Jeremy Keown in the backfield. There it is with all the blockers in front of Lynch. And he powers forward. And with a final effort, looks like he gets the first down.
Even though you know where it's going, they have so many blockers, it's tough to stop. And the thing is, if you shift too many people over there and they run away from it, you got hardly anybody on the backside.
Just missed it, so it'll be fourth down for Danvers, and they'll go for their first.
One of the issues I have with a shotgun is a situation like this, where if you're under center, you got fourth and a foot. If you're under center, all you need is really to push the ball about a yard. But when you're back 5 yards, you got to go about 6 yards to get the first down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they go under center at all.
I'm going to bring that outside mic in, see if we can reduce the wind noise. All right, it's fourth down and less than a yard. And that power formation, you've got two backs that are right behind two linemen. Then you've got the person receiving the ball and a blocker just skewed off to his right. So essentially, there are three blockers behind two blockers. So you're following five guys. Yes. And here it is again.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, now you're going to start 5 yards back.
And it's Lynch.
Lynch.
Ah, he gets it, but just barely.
Yeah.
So a good defensive effort, but a better offensive effort as they get it to the 47. So it's a first down for Danvers. They continue the drive as they'll pick up the eighth play of their drive now. Man, this has been a slugfest already, Paul.
Yeah, the ball's been in the middle of the field the whole game.
Yeah, been between the 30s.
Now, they're both, possession offenses, and that's what we're seeing, and pretty good defenses.
Lynch in the slot left, and Coakley out there as well. Andreas keeps it and goes to the 46. So it's a 1 yard gain, second and nine. Clock at 8:53 left to go in the first half. Don't forget over on Channel B, Bill Newell and Tim Kearns with Lynn English, Lynn Classical. Games from all around the North Shore. They'll be getting some scores, as I know Tim has his eyes glued to that phone on the Twitter accounts. Breezy day here in Gloucester, but not too bad. Now Andreas is going to go wide to the left with Lynch in the backfield, and also it is Sam Vitale in the backfield. Now let's see. In the shotgun. Danvers timeout?
Yeah, I think they were going to get a penalty if they didn't.
Timeout.
They had a 20-second timeout, and the 20-second timeout's only the quarterback, or only one player can go over to the coach. Everybody else has to stay out on the field on the 1 minute timeouts.
And that was Captain.
Team can come over.
Captain Mike Nestor, who went over to the sideline and talked with Coach Terrio. Glad you're with us this Thanksgiving morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Just a gorgeous day, unusually warm. Now Nestor will split to the left, and Andreas Wade to the right. Lynch will sweep. No, he'll go right up to the middle, and be stopped at the 43. Fourth carry for Lynch, four carries for Andreas. Ninth play of the drive coming up. Ball is at the 43. 3 yard gain, and let's see, inside 8 minutes left to go. Another third down situation for Danvers. And they also have another quarterback, and Dean Borders, who also sees a lot of action at quarterback. Gloucester shifting on defense. Now Danvers will shift and go to that power formation toward the left. Lynch gets the snap, evades a tackle in the backfield, goes forward and gets it to the 35, I think. Very close to the first down. If not, he got it.
Now, they had him in the backfield, yep. But that's why he's running the ball. He's elusive.
Very.
I mean, you think you got him, and next thing you know, he throws a move on you.
He just did a little shoulder dip.
Yeah, he changes speed really well, too.
Turns out to be a 9-yard gain after he was hit in the backfield.
That's that wildcat, and they've been hitting it up inside, and on that one, it was outside. So if you commit too many people to the inside.
Going to stay with that power formation as well. Going to be off to the right. They faked like they were going to go shift to the left and stay to the right. Lynch picking his spots and gets positive yardage. Maybe to the 30.
Last year they played at Danvers, and it was really tough field conditions. And Danvers ran this offense the whole game. I believe the back's name was Martino, and he just put on a real
yep,
show.
Yeah, oh, he was tremendous. Oh, no game. I thought they got further than that, but again, that's that reflection off the field. Halfway, 7 minutes left to go in the half. No score in Gloucester. Second and 9, power formation. Lynch rolling to the right following blockers. Running laterally. Now he cuts it forward, and now he's close to the 30. Cody and Latassa getting credit for the tackles, according to Larry Burnham. Right at the 30. 4-yard gain. Well, this will be the 13th play of this drive.
I always used to say oddball offenses, which this is. It's not, you know, it's kind of unique to them. You end up running oddball defenses.
Okay.
Because it's such a different alignment that you have to do something. You can't run a conventional defense.
Coakley and Nestor split to the left. One wide out over to the right. And again in the shotgun.
Huh, it's they had two men in motion.
Oh, and there's the penalty as Andreas gets it to the 25. One of them was Keon. I didn't see the other one, but this will come back, obviously. First penalty of the game. Bring it back out to the 35. So Gloucester had it for 16 plays in the first quarter, and Danvers now will be running their 13th play here in the second quarter. One possession for each team so far. Danvers ban masked on both sides of the end zones. The instruments down to the left and the flag team down to the right. Pretty impressive. Nestor split way to the left side, ball on the far hash mark, moving from right to left. Pistol formation with the back behind the running back. And it is a pitch to the tailback, which is Lynch. And he is wrapped up by Latassa for a big loss back at the 38. And not that big a loss, but the first time it's been negative yardage. It's about a 3 or 4 yard loss.
Well, that penalty was costly because they picked up the first down.
Yes. All right, clock rolling with 5:10 left to go. It will be fourth down. Fourth and let's see. It's at the 38, and they need to get it down to the 24. So it's fourth and 14. Well, Danvers is showing punt. I remember a real stiff cross breeze. Gloucester jumps. I think they get back. Almost blocked, but it's a really good kick with a forward roll that's going to roll inside the Gloucester 5 and down to the 1 yard line. Inside the 1 yard line.
No, he missed it. I think he picked. I think he punted the ball underneath the.
Yep. Wasn't the punt he wanted, but it turned out to be better than what he wanted. Down to the Gloucester 1. Well, there you go. 13 plays for Danvers on that drive. My goodness, and they end up with 30 yards, Paul. 13 plays, 30 yards. Well, now we turn it around, but Gloucester in really dangerous straits right now at their own one. Boy, you got to be careful handling a ball down here.
Yeah, but you also got to be careful defensively. A lot of times they get too aggressive down here, and the offense pops one, and you're gone.
All right, so it's a split backfield with a wing to the right and wide out to the left as Gloucester takes over. Hand off to Sanfilippo carefully.
You notice where they put the ball, Rick?
Yeah, they put it at the 6.
They must have said somebody touched it.
It's at the 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
because they had it on the one. And
you're right. It is. It was a first down from the 10. I don't think Sanfilippo got anything.
It's going to be a short game. Ball after the punt was spotted.
Call it one. So Sanfilippo gets one to the 11. So it's second and 9, but it is at the 11. Yeah, I noticed that as soon as they handed off. It looked like it was at the 1, but I don't understand that. Would you?
It must have hit the Danvers player in the
okay.
Around the 10.
Clock moving at the 4-minute mark. No score. On this Thanksgiving morning, split backfield. Hand off to the tailback. Fumbles it. There you go. Danvers recovers at the 12. Well, tremendous chance now for Danvers to take the lead at the Gloucester 12-yard line. I don't think I've seen a fumble all year here at by Gloucester here at New Balance. We've done six or seven games, but that's a huge one. And it's just short of the 11-yard line. First and 10 with 3:47 left to go. Danvers with a golden chance now to break this 0-0 tie. Nestor will go out to the right side. Actually, the ball's closer to the 12 than it is the 11. All right, here goes Lynch rolling to his right with blockers in front of him. Has to cut back and maybe he loses a yard.
Yeah, they ran that wildcat. He tried to bounce it out.
Big turnover for Gloucester and Danvers trying to capitalize on it as the clock rolling now with 3:20 left to go in the first half.
Danvers has had trouble throwing the ball this year at games that we've seen. So
Keown is in the backfield with Lynch leading the blocking, and Lynch is picked up and dropped down, and I think he lost the ball. I don't see anything official. Do you, Coach?
No,
Gloucester has it. There it is.
Do it now.
Yep. Joe Donovan just indicated first down Gloucester. Wow. So Danvers muffs a chance on the turnover, and Gloucester gets it right back. So we'll start again from the Gloucester 12 with 3:05. And, man, this is as tough a defensive game as you get.
So this has been a defensive struggle.
Barry says it. Patrick Goss recovered the fumble for Gloucester. Now it's on the far hash mark. It's out to the 12-yard line. Cody is back at quarterback with the two guys behind him. Everybody poised and ready to strike with the man in motion is Enos. And he gets a long pitch, tries to cut it back. He is pummeled at about the 13, maybe 1 yard, maybe two.
One of the things about good defense is you try to put your quickest players on defense, and Danvers has some quick players on defense. So what looks like it is an opening closes real quick.
All right, the Falcons take their second timeout. And
if they can hold Gloucester and force them to punt, get the ball back. And
I want to remind you that today's Thanksgiving broadcast brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And, of course, by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor and more GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969 at 84 High Street. Please see General Manager Jeff Klickstein tomorrow and tell him that you heard all about it on MSONewsSports.com. All right, back in the huddle go the Fishermen, and it's a second down and 8 after a 2-yard short gain by Enos. Doing a good job to get just that. Militello, Alex Militello now is the wing off to the right, or actually the receiver off to the right. Philpott, tight end on the right side. But they go to the left, nothing.
Yeah.
Edward getting the call and not much else. Maybe a loss.
Speaking with Tony, which is really, you know, Danvers, like I said, their secondary plays the run so tough that, you know, usually when you have a defense like that, you want to throw play action passes. But I don't know how much confidence the first pass that they threw got picked off, so I'm not sure we'll see a pass.
All my stuff is getting blown away here. Let me take off the headset and go retrieve it. All right, had to go chase down all the stuff there. Okay, so we're in the middle of a timeout. No score. This is The third possession for Gloucester. Danvers has had two possessions, and that's been it in this first half. Game played primarily between the 30s, but right now it's in the Gloucester zone, as it has been for the last 5 minutes or so, as a result of turnovers.
Third and eight, Gloucester. Gloucester got the ball twice.
Joe Donovan, the referee. Dave Regis, the umpire. Mark Petropoulos, the line judge. Henry Breckenridge, the lineman. Al Guido, the back judge. And Phil Brody is doing the clock up here. In the beautiful, is this still the Doc Enos press box?
Yeah, it is. We when they took down the old press box, Rick, somehow or other the plaque got lost,
mm-hmm.
and we just ordered another one, and
okay,
fortunately
cool.
It's not finished, but we'll have it up for next season.
Of course, Doc's grandson, Nick Kukru, is the sports editor for the Daily Times, the Gloucester Daily Times. We'll see if we can get Nick over here. At halftime, which is 2.5 minutes away on the clock. But right now it's 3rd and 8 for Gloucester, way back in their own 14. Another run play off to the left. Enos keeps it. Now he breaks it. 20, 30, and he gets a first down out to the 34-yard line. The longest run from scrimmage tonight. Or this morning, I guess I should say. Big first down by Enos. 20 yards from scrimmage. I'll give you a little breathing room, Paul.
Yeah, they needed that. That's the first big play they've had. It's a counter play. It's kind of crisscross, and looks like you're going to run off tackle one way, and the wing back comes back under the other way, and it's good against a fast-pursuing defense.
Gloucester takes its first timeout with Mike Cody coming over to talk to Coach Zerilli. And Coach Zerilli and Coach Terrio, very eloquent in their speeches on Tuesday to their kids, to both teams actually, and telling them how much to try to savor the moment and go out there and play hard and hit hard, but try to enjoy pregame and especially postgame and just savor it. Okay, split backfield once again, no score behind Cody. 1st and 10, Gloucester going from left to right out at their 33. And play action. Short pass into the flat to Enos, catches it at the 30, and he cuts it out, gets it out of bounds at about the 37, and a penalty. That didn't look like a late hit. Did you see anything there, Paul?
Well, I know that the Gloucester coaches are upset, so
yeah.
I thought it was probably hitting out of bounds by Danvers, but
right.
It looks like the Gloucester coaching staff
yep.
is upset.
Yep, it's against Gloucester. So maybe there's some kind of a retaliation there. Now, the ball got out to the 37, so about a 3-yard gain, only a short one, after the big 20-yard pickup by Enos. Big penalty on Gloucester, and I'm not sure if that was holding or using your hands.
I believe.
That wasn't, it was sort of a half in-between signal, either way. So it's out to, they push it back to the Gloucester 23.
One of the hardest things to do is you're out there leading the play as a blocker, and
blocking the back.
Defender turns his back on you. You got to stop. They give you a little leeway if he does it at the last second, but there's times not to be aggressive.
Yeah, you explained that several times on kickoffs. Kickoffs, and particularly vulnerable to that. But now it's 1st down and 15, back to the 27. So 2:19 left to go. Gloucester is still in possession. Nobody near the goal line yet. Well, actually, Danvers was. Here's a reverse, and Militello gets it to the 28, maybe 1 yard gain.
Yeah, you see the tackle there, Rick. I mean, I believe that was Lynch. I mean, he just flies to the ball, and he pretty solid tackler.
He's just great on both sides.
He really is.
Yeah. Terrific football player. Nice guy. Nice kid. Good student. Timeout. For Danvers, their fourth, and
you got to meet them at the
I got to meet all the captains. They sat at the same table, a little uncomfortable at first, with the four Danvers captains and the three Gloucester captains, and they just kind of looked at their phones. But after a little while, they struck up something in common, some kind of a conversation. Of course, the coaches talked, as you've seen many times before, to both of them. What did you tell the kids? Because you got both of them there, captains.
I just always kind of wanted to show respect for the other team,
Mm-hmm.
I would build up my players and things that they accomplished, but I would also, respect the other team. You don't really want to give them any ammunition
right.
to say something off color, And some coaches believe that's the way to go about it, but it just wasn't me.
Well, I think it's a nice thing, Paul, because, you know, there's more life than football.
Yeah.
And so you make these meetings, and then in the future, who knows, you may be working side by side with some of these guys.
Fortunate to coach the Aganis game, and I met a lot of the kids that we had played against. And, you know, they're great kids every place.
Absolutely. Second and 12. Now we have one guy in the backfield with a motion man. Edward, the one man in the backfield, gets the handoff, and he blasts forward out to the 40. Good yardage, but it will be fourth down.
I think it's going to be both teams.
So, get a little testy, is it? Yeah, referee Joe Donovan talking to both coaches. Right now, the ball is at the 40. So it was a 12-yard gain, and they need to get to the 43 for a first down. And it would be a third down. I think
it occurred, I believe, after he was down.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll bring the ball back. I think they'll leave it where it is.
Well, Donovan told both coaches what happened, but he's not telling us.
And I think he warned both players. If they get another personal foul, they're probably gone.
All right, there we go.
Unsportsmanlike
conduct against Gloucester and Danvers. So they offset after the play. And you're right, Paul. That's Donovan talking to both coaches and players involved. Clean up the act. Minute and 41 left to go. So now it's a third down and 4 for Gloucester at their own 40. Ball midway between the hash marks. This is a handoff. Edward hit in the backfield. And he gets some momentum for about a yard. Give him 2 yards to the 42. All right, so now it's another fourth down for Gloucester. They've converted two of them so far.
I would say they're probably going to go for it.
And the clock is still moving with 1:08 left to go in the first half. Closest Danvers got to the end zone was on a turnover when they had it at the Gloucester 11. But then promptly fumbled the ball away. Keeper up the middle. Now, Mike Nestor is signaling first down other way. So was there a fumble? Because the surge.
Yeah, he must have fumbled the ball.
Yeah. Okay. So, that was the keeper.
The coaching point, when you run out of quarterback sneak, you have to take a step back and get the ball to your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
If you just try to run up the center's butt, you never really get the balls into your stomach. And that's where you can secure it.
Well, I didn't know that, and that's logical for sure. Okay, first and 10 for Danvers, and they're at the Gloucester 43-yard line. With 51 seconds left to go, Andreas wants to pass, rolling to his right, evades a tackle, stops and throws it up for grabs, caught by Nestor, over a receiver. Militello was the defender.
Yep. But he did push off. He pushed the defender.
Well, Militello was right there, but Nestor went up over him.
And I think it was a little shove. That's why Militello didn't elevate too high.
All right, second down for Danvers, but Andreas, and that ball really floated way up there.
Yeah, Lynch was open quick.
Well, I'm sure they picked that up on the Danvers side of things. 43 seconds left to go. Danvers in the Gloucester zone, and the quarterback is Andreas, rolling to his right, wants to pass all the way, fires it up high, too high. Again, Nestor, the intended receiver, at the 27. Third down, 10. So the clock stops. We've had an incredibly moving, fast first half, but now with the incompletions, clock has stopped with 39.3. And the Danvers band amassed down to the left, ready to take over the field. Well, wait a minute, there's more guys here on the near sideline. Look at them all.
You know, just unbelievable.
Oh, they got
coming at you from all angles.
2,000 or 3,000 people here for the Danvers band. Fantastic. Third and 10. And Lynch will split out to the left. And they've got Nestor split to the right. Andreas straight back to pass. Lynch waiting for it on the left side, but he throws it long on the left side, and the ball just came up short. I think the wind got a hold of that one. Three defenders on Nestor. And that was incomplete inside the 15. Now it's fourth down and 10 with 33.5 left to go in the half. Danvers has one timeout left. Gloucester has four left. Just a great crowd.
I don't know if I'd want to give Gloucester. The only problem is the punt was almost blocked last time Danvers punted. But I don't know even if you want to give Gloucester this kind of field position.
Well, they need 10 for the first down. It's 4th and 10. They're at the 43. And you've got twins to the right. No, one receiver off to the right, one to the left. Gloucester jumps, but gets back. Anders will keep it and run with it. And he'll be downed at the 40 after a three-yard gain. So Gloucester will take over.
Gain of 2 to Gloucester, 41. Hawkins will turn the ball over on down. It'll be first and 10, Gloucester, 41.
So total yardage in this game right now, 31 yards for Danvers, 76 for Gloucester. That shows you the intensity of the defense. As Gloucester takes over, 27.9 left to go.
Now Gloucester has all its timeouts left.
They have four left. They did take one.
Okay.
So that's pretty close. Now we know that they put together a most impressive drive of the season against Beverly to win that game. All right, so it's first and 10 Gloucester now on the far hash mark at their own 41. Cody drops straight back, three receivers out. And this ball is caught by the wind and goes way out of bounds. Militello at about the 33 was the closest to it, but that just flew way away. Dan Papagelis on defense. All right, 22 seconds even left to go.
Second and 10.
I think it caught up in the air and just took off like a balloon. Went about 10 or 15 yards out of bounds.
The only thing is, Rick, you kind of know that that's what's going to happen, so you adjust.
Well, you would think, yeah. But, you know. Got to put a tight spiral on it. I would think you'd want to throw short. But even with a tight spiral on that crosswind. All right, here we go. Second and 10 at the 41. I thought a whistle blew, but it's a play action, and Cody will run to his right, trying to throw it short to Enos, throws it out of bounds. And it was even incomplete into the Gloucester sideline as Brandon Rivera dropped it, and he's listed as a tight end. Well, the first 21 minutes of this game flew by. The last minute, not so much. 15 seconds left to go, third down for Gloucester. They might give it back to Danvers right here at the 40. At the 41. No score. 0-0. Third and 10. Everybody enjoying this one. With a big crowd. Fumble again. And covered up by Cody. So now it'll be fourth down. Let the clock go. Let it run. And I think that's going to do it. Oh, timeout, Danvers. They spend their last one. 2.3 on the clock. Danvers is out of timeouts, and that's kind of academic at this point. Well, Paul, that's what do you do? If you're Gloucester, do you run it? With fourth down and 2.3 seconds left?
Yeah. Yeah, you let the clock run out.
Right.
You don't want to punt it, that's for sure.
No, I wouldn't think you'd want to do anything except just...
The only other thing you could do is just heave it downfield,
mm-hmm.
Pray.
The thing I'm worried about there, though, is always the possibility of intentional grounding, you know, and especially with this wind. So I would think Danvers is going to try to strip the ball, and Gloucester would probably try to run it. Well, it is Thanksgiving morning. It's been a tremendous game up to this point. Game brought to you by Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for Overt. 25 years, 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn, HarringtonTrophy.com for quality products and exceptional service. And don't forget my friend, Attorney Robert J. Madruga. See Bob for all your estate planning needs and all of your tax preparation. Alex Sanfilippo, our streamographer this morning, and taking his Thanksgiving morning to bring this game on video, live streaming video. We thank Alex and we thank Andrew Nicastro for their superb videography and streamography this football season. I actually watched the Beverly Marblehead game while I was in Florida, and man, it was just awesome to watch that on the phone.
Yeah, it's
on the iPad.
What a convenience!
Oh my goodness. Well, here we go. 2.3 seconds. Gloucester has 4th and 14 at their own 37.
I bet Gloucester runs a trap.
Hand off.
Oh, a sweep.
Sweep. Sanfilippo outside to the 40. And tackled across the 45 to the 47, and that will take care of the first half. So we got about 5 yards on that, but that will end the first half. And cowabunga, nothing on the score sheet, not a whole lot to talk about offensively, but a lot to talk about defensively. And we will do that after a break, and we'll see if we can come back and talk with Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times as well. Halftime on Thanksgiving morning, no score from New Balance Field at Newell Stadium between Danvers and Gloucester.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts. The only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're a high school football fan, it just doesn't get any better than this. Whatever your game preference may be, whether it's Salem-Beverly, Danvers-Gloucester, or Ipswich-Hamilton-Wenham, a football game in the AM, followed by a turkey dinner with family and close friends, is just a great recipe for a perfect day. From all of us at Moynihan Lumber, enjoy this day. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan. This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Well, it's at this point when I usually recap all the scoring in the first half and give you some statistics, but there ain't none. Hello, once again, I'm Rick Moore, and Paul Ingram is here, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, but right now Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times has stepped in. No score. We've had a couple of long possession drives. Is that bothering you? I had the window open, and former Gloucester Athletic there, Bob Rowland, wants to Athletic Director Barbara wants to close the window. But anyway, a couple of long possession drives, Nick, that came up empty. Gloucester with a 15-play drive, and they got 46 yards. Danvers with a 13-play drive, and they got 30 yards. A couple of turnovers, two or three fumbles in the game. The game primarily played between the 30s.
Yeah, I mean, Danvers, moved, well, I wouldn't say moved inside the 20. They recovered a fumble inside the 20. But, yeah, I mean, no offense. I have 86 yards for Gloucester, 30 for Danvers.
Look at that. I have 81 and 30. Let me change that to 86. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's been just complete grind so far, which is not really a surprise. This has been Danvers', style of play all year, and I think if Gloucester played in the NEC Lodge this year, we would see that this is their style of play too. But they rolled over a lot of teams.
I talked with Coach Zeroli about that, about playing against those teams, mm-hmm. and he didn't play English and they didn't play Peabody, but they were very competitive, obviously, against Beverly. Win one, lose one. They beat Lynn Classical, and now they're playing Danvers. So even though they're one of the smaller schools in the conference, attendance-wise, it looks like they are competitive with the bigger schools still.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this would be a big one, Tay. You win this one, you're 2-2 against the Lodge. And, I mean, as we saw in the Lodge this year, they all beat each other up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is a tough one to gauge right now. I mean, no offense at all. Nobody's got a rhythm. I think Gloucester had a 19-yard gain that was the biggest gain of the half, and I mean, it didn't really amount to much.
Right.
I think other than that, that's the only gain over 10 yards for either team.
And I think you can forget about a field goal with that crosswind.
Yeah, just look at what it did to those passes, whipping it out of bounds. The kickoff, the opening kickoff, just whipped out of bounds, too. I mean, it's been brutal out there. It's I think this is what we expected. So, as a very similar look, to that first half of that Marblehead game. Marblehead had a lot more firepower than Danvers, although Danvers beat them. Not to say that Marblehead's better than Danvers, just a different type of team. But this has a similar look to that, where it's going to be a field position game. I think teams are going to play the field position game again in the second half. I think the first one to score might be the one to win.
Right. Well, with the wind, it feels like 49 degrees according to the weatherchannel.com, and I bet it feels colder than that out there in the stands.
Yeah.
The wind blowing directly off the water at 17, as we said, and coming right into your face. But it's funny, Nick, you were way too young to remember this, but I remember a Danvers-Beverly game, one of the first games that Bill Newell and I did together, and I want to say maybe 1979 or 1980, right? And a kid named Jeff DiPaolo, I think, or Nick DiPaolo. Nick DiPaolo caught the ball in the opening kickoff for Danvers, went the distance, and scored. Mm-hmm. And we thought, hey, this is going to be a blowout, right?
Yeah.
6-0. That's the way it ended. and you do get that feeling on this one as well,
that
whoever scores, man, that's going to be gigantic. But what an emotional game, the respect for these two teams, that these two teams have each other. Danvers last year, I remember the celebration at the end of the game when they beat Gloucester to end a 10-year drought. And the Falcons, to their credit, have improved on that, and they've gotten better and better.
Mm-hmm. They have. I mean, and I think now you see this year's Danvers team is kind of the poster child of, what's good about this playoff system. I know there's flaws to it. We see, Thanksgiving football, maybe, the bad. But they got rewarded for playing in a strong league. They got rewarded for, improving as the season went along. And look, I mean, their style was perfect for that grind of a playoffs. It's kind of a war of attrition once you get past that second round. You got to scrape your claw your way through each round, and that's, what they do. And, I mean, that's what both teams are doing today.
It's hard for me to gauge, as a fan and as, the great unwashed. I watched Danny Lynch and Matt Andreas against Beverly, and they were fantastic. And two terrific, and a lot of great players on Danvers, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if the toll of the season, I mean, they got banged up, Andreas did a few weeks ago, and they both took a pounding against Melrose.
Yeah.
And you got to think, okay, they're not 100%, but then probably nobody on the field is at 100% this time of year.
Exactly. I mean, especially Danvers. I think that was a big advantage coming into this game for Gloucester. I mean, Gloucester, over the last 2 weeks, played, the starters played three quarters against Winthrop, and then they had a bye.
Yeah.
Danvers had to grind one hell, a very physical game against Marblehead, and then had, another very physical game against Melrose, two of the best teams in the area. So, I mean, I think that definitely plays a factor coming in today with that what that bye week can do for teams. But you know, Gloucester's gonna, you know, we'll see. We'll see in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Teams keep taking hits, and you know, who's gonna outlast the other one.
You know, Nick, this is a good time. We did some reflection this week. I was able to talk to Coach Bill, former Beverly coach Bill Hamer, look back on a lot of teams, and of course he keeps up with the present Beverly team. Bill Newell got to talk with Ken Perrone and look back on the Beverly-Salem matchup. But this is a good time for me to reflect on your grandfather, Doc Enos. And what kind of an influence did he have on you? I mean, he was an icon in the city for so many years, all year round, not just during football season, covering all levels of the sport as well. And the one thing I remember was him being up in this press box, not this one, but the old one, with that little Smith Corona portable, pounding away on it and just screaming the whole game long, and then never once seeing one negative word about any kid in any article.
Yeah, that was his MO. You know, he was a Gloucester guy through and through, but you know, you read his stories were right down the middle. You know,
That's true. He always appreciated the other kids.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had a, you know, huge influence for me. I mean, I don't know if I'd be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for him. I mean, you know, I was probably, you know, a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to go to all the games with him, football, hockey. That was where I kind of first got, you know, introduced to, you know, sports, high school sports in the city, and you know, I loved it ever since then. You know, it's you know, kept going even now.
I know he had an influence on me as a broadcaster wannabe when I worked at WESX as a part-timer. And, you know, I wanted to go in and think that I was broadcasting major leagues. And then you realize, well, wait a minute. I'm teaching these kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. And so, you know, you learn from that. And I know that we never mentioned a kid who causes a penalty. You know, if a kid fumbles, okay, you have to call that. But you only do it once.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's it.
Exactly.
Done. And that kind of thing. And, you know, it makes a difference. You know, it's like when you commit an error in baseball. You know you committed the error.
Yeah.
You don't need to read about that 30 years later at your class reunion.
Exactly. But he was a little tough on his grandkids, though. I remember a couple times, you know, in baseball, you know, I scored a big run. I was all pumped, you know.
Yeah.
We tied the game or something late, and then I read in the paper the next day that, you know, Cooper would have been out by a mile if only the catcher had held onto the ball. So, you know, he was a little tough on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was all good.
Well,
I did the same thing to my brother.
Exactly. There you go. See, that's allowed. Family, it's allowed. Well, I do miss Doc, and I love playing softball with him and seeing him walk all the time with your grandmother. And, you know, it's a great time to remember Doc in this day, I think. And this is the Doc Enos Press Box, and there will be a brand-new plaque up here as well. So, I don't know, Nick, other thoughts? What are you thinking otherwise?
I mean, I think we're going to see more of the same in the second half. I think we're going to see long drives. We're going to see 3-4 yards apiece, and, you know, is someone going to break one? I mean, that's the question. They haven't been close yet.
Does either team have something up its sleeve for the other one?
I doubt it.
Don't think so.
I don't. I really don't. I mean, it looks. I don't know what Gloucester could throw out. Maybe one of those, you know, throwback passes to the, you know, where they roll right and sneak the running back out to the left. But in this wind, that's really tough.
Right. It really is. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Danvers. I don't know what they have for some trickeration. But they're going to have to open up the playbook because both defenses seem to have the bread and butter plays down.
All right. Where's dinner today?
It is at my in-laws and then at my parents.
And what time is that?
I have to get there.
What time you get out of the paper?
I'm shooting for 2. We'll see.
Ooh, you're an optimist.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I
well, you get most of it done here.
Exactly.
All right, go do your work and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Nick. That is Nick Hukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor. Right here, again, it is 0-0 at the half. Paul Ingram and I will be back to talk a little bit more about this halftime and this particular game. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. Don't forget, over on Channel B, Lynn English and Lynn Classical with reports from Beverly-Salem. And I thank Phil Brody, who just gave us a halftime score. Essex Tech is leading Northeast Vogue 22-6, and Essex Tech with a super year as well this year. So we'll take another break, and we'll come back and talk this one a little bit more. No score in this one. We'll be right back.
Halftime, Manchester Essex 25 and Georgetown nothing.
Hi. Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're a high school football fan, it just doesn't get any better than this. Whatever your game preference may be, whether it's Salem-Beverly, Danvers-Gloucester, or Ipswich-Hamilton-Wenham, a football game in the AM, followed by a turkey dinner with family and close friends, is just a great recipe for a perfect day. From all of us at Moynihan Lumber, enjoy this day. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Eat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Well, welcome back. It's halftime here at New Balance Field at Newell Stadium, and not a whole lot to tell you about statistically. 86 yards of offense for Gloucester, 30 yards of offense for the Danvers Falcons. Leading ball carriers for Gloucester, 9 carries for Christian Sanfilippo. I almost said Alex Sanfilippo, but he's our streamographer. Christian Sanfilippo, 9 carries, 29 yards, and Jermaine Edward, 8 carries, 30 yards, and that's it for stats. And Danvers Falcons come back onto the field. We're getting ready for the start of the second half, and Danvers will be receiving the ball in this scoreless game. And Paul, you know, what do you think about that first half? A little analysis.
Well, I think it certainly, as expected, the defenses are the better part of the teams, and they're doing a good job stopping each other. I think Gloucester, if has got to run some more counterplays. Danvers is just too aggressive to ball. And I think actually both teams. If I don't know if Danvers and their offense has much deception, but Gloucester I know does. And I would try and keep them a little bit off balance by running counters and maybe a reverse or two here and there. And Danvers, you know, I think they're just going to stay with what they do and hope that Lynch and Andreas get hot and, you know, maybe break one or consistently get three yards.
Each team looking for its ninth win. So there's a lot at stake here in terms of pride. And, of course, Danvers breaking the 10-game losing streak has that big trophy that they ran onto the field with at the beginning of the game. At this point, you know what Danvers does. Danvers knows what Gloucester does, as you just mentioned. Do you ever do you try to do something different maybe that you've never done all year? Is that ever done in high school, you know, this late?
It's not that you've never done it. There's probably things that you practiced that you haven't run yet, that you always have in your back pocket that if you need it. I know when we were playing classical here and we were tied 7-7, it was a big game. You knew that whoever was going to win it was going to end up going to the playoffs. You know, we had trouble running the ball, and I had a couple of plays in my back pocket, but they had a bad snap, on a punt, and we got the ball on the 1 yard line and scored. So
you didn't even go to it.
Didn't go to it, but you know, we had practiced it. I felt comfortable with it, but I just say kind of was saving it for a special occasion. You know, you just never know. And I imagine both those teams do. I just see, just watching the passing game, though, they're both really struggling to hit receivers.
You know, even in short passes, I think it makes it difficult because of that cross breeze. Even in a short pass, the wind's going to take it.
Yeah, but, you know, I always, in a weather like this, would run stationary pass routes. So, in other words, things that the receiver is stationary, they're not, you don't have to hit them in stride because it's pretty hard in this wind. So, like curls and hitches and pop passes, those type things.
1-1-3
Well, Larry's going to make somebody happy here in a second with a
50-50. 9-4-1-1-3 That is your number. Congratulations. You may pick up your winnings over at the concession stand.
So, how much is the winnings, Larry? That's your share. So, okay, 50-50 is over 1,000. Cool. Very good. Very good. Big crowd. And as Nick mentioned, nobody has left. We are still awaiting the arrival of Gloucester. And here they come. So this thing will get underway very shortly for the second half. And again, Gloucester will be kicking off to Danvers. Doc Ian is down in front with all the boys down there, guys I used to play softball with. Did have one other score Larry mentioned. Manchester Essex leading Georgetown at the half, 25-0. So at the half it was Essex Tech 22, Essex Tech 22, Northeast 6, Manchester Essex 25, Georgetown 0.
$5,000 winner. Congratulations to Kate McCarthy. And the Danvers Football Boosters thank everyone for participating.
So you can see that the Falcons are lining up on the wrong side of the field, so they'll flip-flop to go back in to the receiving formation. Gloucester still on the sidelines, huddle up.
Gloucester will kick and start.
And ball field position, special teams and punting so important in the high school game as well as any other level.
Yeah, it certainly is. Never take it for granted.
Well, with this wind, it's adventurous to say the least. Alex Militello, who has improved as the year has gone on to become a very steady, reliable kicker, both on kickoffs and on points after, will be teeing it up. Again, the cross breeze is at about 20 miles an hour, coming from the water right in to the press box, meaning from behind the Danvers bench into the Gloucester bench, cross breeze. And let's see, who is in the back? Looks like, oh, that's going to be 26, not 16. Jeremy Keown and Taj Coakley are deep for Danvers. I'm not sure it's going to get that far back, but let's see. Militello puts a right foot into it. It's a line drive that comes up to the 34-yard line, fielded right there, and brought all the way out to the 46-yard line.
Well, what happened, Rick, was the ball blew off the tee just as he went to kick it.
And he caught it.
And he caught it, whew, but not solid.
Caught it with his foot, I should say. Otherwise, that could have been even worse.
Yeah.
So good job by Militello. Maybe they should have held it. Academic now. Danvers starts in terrific field position at their own 46 to start the second half.
First and 10. So Matt
Hedgeway is. And let's see.
Now they got the two backs in the backfield with the quarterback.
Left and right, as it's in the shotgun for Andreas. Hands off to Lynch, and he goes off to the right and gets about 3 yards.
Well, they can do a little bit more deception with that type of a formation than they could with just the two backs in the backfield. Now they have the quarterback and a right and left halfback.
It is first and second and seven, rather, or second, yeah, second and seven, just underway in the second half. Bruno Abatessa, the center, Marco Lagambina, Steve Goutsos, Zach Schutz, Isaiah Clark up front. And the same formation with shotgun for Andreas, left and right. Keeping it, though, is Andreas gets it to the 50, maybe to the Gloucester 49. 2 yard gain. So it's third down now.
It's
trying to see who the other back is. Lynch has been the left on the left side of Andreas. In the backfield, I'm guessing it's Keown on the other side, but I can't see the number. And now we see that it's Zach Turner. Well, Zach Turner's the tight end, though. Number 15. Number 6, number 10, number 12. Nestor splits this side, and Lynch is split to the right side. Now we have an empty backfield with a wing off to the left, and the wing is Coakley. So it is a keeper by Andreas. He reads it and comes up short, but he gets it to the 41. I'm sorry, the 46. Correct. 3 yard gain. That'll be fourth and a couple.
Looks like they're going to go for it there.
Quentin Holland comes in now as a tight end and a blocker, probably. Marco La Gambina.
Now that power wildcat here.
Yeah. There's the two blockers in front of Lynch. Keeps it. Gets the first down. Well, yeah, he gets it maybe a yard more. Gets it to the 43, so it is a first and 10. For Danvers, and they keep this drive alive. Loster up front. Jake Schrock, Andrew Emerald back in. Jacob Emerson, John Philpott. Tommy Donahue, Eric Cameron, Jermaine Edwards, the linebackers. And Tommy Donahue with high praise from assistant coach Tom Walsh for all the work that Donahue has done in practice and during games this year. This time in the backfield is Sam Vitale. He's like a bowling ball, 5'8", 205. He's to the left of the quarterback with Lynch in motion. And this time it's another keeper by Andreas. Keeps it and stood straight up at the line of scrimmage. And I just mentioned Donahue. There you go.
Well, I'm not sure if he's making the right read because he's certainly not gaining any yardage on that.
Second and 10 from the Gloucester 43.
Can't find the cursor here for the computer. Second and 10. As we approach the 8 minute mark of this third quarter, still no score. Nestor will come out to the left side. The ball is midway between the hash marks. And Danvers in the all white uniforms with the blue numerals are moving away from the canal from right to left. It is a handoff that's going to be stopped for negative yardage. Lynch is wrapped up by John Philpott and Andrew Latassa. Cody in on the stop, too. They break through that line and get it back to the 45-yard line. Now it's third down and 12. 7.5 minutes left to go in the third. First possession of the second half. North Shore Sports Night on Monday nights with Tim Kearns, me, and you. And, of course, we'll have our winter sports schedule lined up very soon as we'll be doing basketball and hockey as well. So Andreas has one back in the backfield with him. And there goes Lynch, and it's kept by Andreas. He goes off of right tackle, gets it back to the 40, and that's it. It'll be fourth down once again. Got the 5 yards. So it's fourth and seven, maybe eight. Fourth and seven, call it.
And would,
they'll still go for it.
No, I think they're going to punt, Rick. Yeah, that's why give Gloss to the ball there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gloucester hasn't scored, but they moved the ball. So you got to make them go, you know, the length of the field at least.
Zach Turner will get it away from about the 47. Oh, and it's a fake. Handoff, it's going to be to Moriarty, I believe. He's going to get the first down to the 28-yard line. One of the up men, it looked like a blocker, but it was the Kieran Moriarty, the tight end, got the first down. And Danvers keeps it alive, so there's your trick play.
Yep. Good call, good time, good run, well blocked.
They got 9 yards, and Danvers keeps it alive with the fake punt, and it's first and 10 at the Gloucester 31-yard line. And once he got into that secondary, they did a good job tackling him in the secondary. He could have got more.
Yeah, but that's probably their biggest play, right?
I believe it is. From scrimmage, it's 9 yards. And Moriarty is 6'3", 205. He looks even bigger than that. On the far hash mark, moving from right to left, Lynch this time gets a direct snap. Picks his way forward and gets about five. Looks like he was stopped in the backfield, but no.
Danny Lynch.
at the 27. 4-yard gain, second and six. So this will be the 10th play. The 10th play of this drive, and Danvers has it to the... Well, they put it at the 32. I'm sorry, the... Yeah, the 27, I'm correct. 27. Second and six. And it's just one man in the backfield. Lynch gets the high snap, goes forward. Pushes the pile forward, yeah, down to the 22.
See, that's what's unique about him is not real big. I think he's 165, but the pile moves.
Yeah. He is strong, so they're going to put it just short of the first down. Just short of the 20.
They're actually going to measure it.
Yeah, it's closer to the 21 than it is the 22.
Special timeout for measuring.
At this time, we'd like to recognize and congratulate...
Measurement sticks come out, and let's see.
And they're in third place finish in the division...
They get it, first down.
Championships.
Credit the effort of Lynch on that one to get the first down. And he reads the hole, Paul, too.
Well, I think what they do is there's a blocking scheme, and I think he, if you're going to trap to the left, he starts his faking run to the right and then sets up the trap and then breaks off it.
Okay, Nestor is put wide to the left, one wide out to the right. It's Lynch again. Looks like he's going to go left, instead
right,
goes forward, and he gets about three to the 17, perhaps. This depends on where they put it. At the 18, so it's a 3-yard gain. So Lynch on this series, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's carried it six times already on this series. He started back at the 46, they're down to the Gloucester 18, 12th play of the drive coming up. And the clock moving. So Danvers has had the ball the entire third quarter, much this, very similar to what Gloucester did in the first quarter and didn't score. Here's Lynch again, and this time he's stacked up on the right-hand side of the line. Jake Schrock wraps him up and brings him down. Very quiet here, too.
Yeah, it is.
Jeez, it's weird with the size of the crowd here. My goodness. Pick it up, guys. Where's the ball, Paul? Are they put it down? Oh, there it is. It's at the 17?
I believe 17. Yeah,
so call it a 1-yard gain for Lynch.
Yeah. I would think they'd have to get to the outside a little bit.
Lynch, right up the middle again. Tripped up and stopped, making the tackle from the prone position, actually, that time. Was I saw 77, and I don't have him on my program. Oh, well. Who's 77, Larry? Ryan Gabriel, okay. Thought it was 60, and Ryan Gabriel makes a tackle along with Mike Cody. Larry giving Cody credit. So it is, give him a yard. And now it's fourth down again for Danvers with 3.5 minutes left to go. Now Andreas is back in the shotgun. He's going to roll to his right. Stopping, looking, throwing to the left. Wide open is Moriarty, and he's going to score. Touchdown on a perfectly executed play by the Danvers Falcons, and they take the lead 6-0. Oh, that was pretty, Paul.
Yeah, they've run every route to the right, and Gloucester covered it well. So what they did is they rolled to the right and dragged the tight end across the field, and he was wide open. Gloucester typically plays man-to-man. And what hurts man-to-man is crossing routes like that one.
16-yard catch, pass, catch, and run combination. So
that's one of those plays in your back pocket, Rick.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So Zebek, soccer-style kicker, right-footed, will boot it long and high and good.
Strong leg. Boy.
You got it. So 14 plays and 54 yards puts Danvers on top 7-0.
Now that fake punt really caught Gloucester by surprise, and
yep,
was a huge play, and as was that one. And kind of wonder if they would go for a field goal if they didn't get it.
Boy, with that leg, you can.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, I've seen Gloucester a couple of times this year, especially I'm reminded of the Beverly game when they seemed a little deflated after going down 14-0 or early on, or 20-0, something like that. They can't let that happen. There's too much real estate here to cover, and they're only down by that one touchdown. But terrific series by Danvers.
Yeah, and Gloucester's proven they can move the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to be, you know, patient.
And as you say, they have to execute. So it is Danvers breaking out on top with a terrific series. Fourth down conversion on a fake punt. And then a beautiful pass to the tight end from Andreas. And Danvers is on top now 7-0 as they'll be kicking off from right to left. 3:16 left to go in the third quarter. That's our first score of the game. Add, 54 yards to the total. 84 yards of offense now for Danvers. Total, 86. I'm sorry, 86 total for Gloucester. Zebek will tee it up in the middle of the field. See if the wind does anything to it. Wind's still blowing as it has been all day. Right-footed kicker, long, high kick that's going to send Enos back. He's going to let it roll into the end zone. So Gloucester starts at their own 20.
Nice kick.
So the Fishermen now face with a tall task. I don't see. I got to figure out, Paul, how far they've actually gotten into the Danvers zone. They get down to the 38. That's the closest they've gotten to the Danvers 38.
Danvers 38.
Yep, that's it. That's as close as they've gotten. And this is typical. This is what Danvers done. They've won games 7-0, 14-7. This is how they win them.
Well, it's called bend but don't break.
So it's first and down 10 for Gloucester. Sanfilippo tries to go into the middle of the line, and he's dumped after a very short game by Dan Papagelis, senior, 5'9", 180. They give him 2 to the 22. Sanfilippo struggling for yardage tonight. 10th carry and only 31 yards. Second down and 8 for Gloucester with 2:47 left to go. 7-0. Danvers leading. I think it's still morning, Thanksgiving morning, is it? Yeah, another half hour to go. Sanfilippo sweeping the other way. Gets a block. Puts his head down. Breaks a tackle. 30, 35. Speeding. 40, 50, 40, 30. One man to beat. He's not going to get there. And Sanfilippo scores. Andreas couldn't touch him. Holy Toledo. Sanfilippo, 78 yards. And Gloucester has pulled back within a point. Wow. I thought Andreas was going to get him. He had that closing speed. He dived and hit his foot, but didn't bring him down.
I believe it was a straight-off tackle play, and
he broke
just
a couple
came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And he put his shoulder down there and broke through the line. 78-yard off tackle. So two plays, 80 yards for Gloucester. They're right back within scoring range. So now Militello will try the point after. There's a good long kick, and it's tied. Wow. How about that? 2:23. And so, 53 seconds after Danvers scores, Gloucester scores, and it's tied up. Cowabunga. Oh, and by the way, Sanfilippo now, 11 carries, and just as I said, struggling for yardage, he rips off a 78-yarder. 11 carries, 119 yards. Game being brought to you by the Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts, building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Check them out at lynnmuseum.org. Don't forget the Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. And Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. And on this Thanksgiving morning, Honeydew Donuts, as our man says, the only way to go, enjoy the local flavor, and visit More GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969 at 84 High Street. Please see General Manager Jeff Klickstein and say hello for us. Well, we're back to a tie score. So we went, almost 30 minutes plus without any scoring. And then within 53 seconds, we get two scores. So Latassa will hold the ball for Militello this time. And back deep are Coakley. And Keon. But the return is to the 37, Quentin Holland, who had an interception earlier and a big interception against Melrose last week in the playoff game, gets it out to the 47. So Danvers starts first and 10 at the 47. Man, what a game. Woo! All right, let's see here. 47. Did I say 47? It's 37, right? With 2:18 left to go. Now we've got that backfield with one back on either side of Andreas. Lynch gets the handoff and gets it to the 40.
Well, no change in the game plan, you know. Still going to run attack up the middle.
Wow. Well, that pass from Andreas to Moriarty was just terrific. And Moriarty, man, there was nobody within 15 yards of him. And then Sanfilippo returns, answers with a 78-yarder. And it was a beautiful run. He broke several tackles. Andreas had one last shot of him around the 10, hit his ankle, but Sanfilippo kept his balance and then went in. So second down and 7 for Danvers as they're moving from right to left. Vitale in the game. Leaves a block there for Andreas, who gets it across the 40 to the 43. just across the 43.
You know, Andreas looks like he's limping.
He's a warrior, man. He's been banged up so much in the last few weeks. Had to sit out a big portion of the second half against Melrose, and actually he stood out. He stayed on his feet, and he comes back into the game. Clock moving with 55 seconds left to go. 7-7 is our score. And number 7, Taj Coakley, will split wide to the right for the Falcons. And, yeah. All right, Danvers spends first time out of the second half. They used all of them in the first half. This is a full timeout. So we'll take a quick break, come right back. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. It's 7-7, and we're in the fourth on Thanksgiving morning.
This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Third and 4 for Danvers. Andreas rolling to his right, throws it short to Lynch, complete first down. And penalty marker flies at the 48-yard line where Lynch goes out of bounds.
I wonder if it's Lyman downfield, eh?
Looked like it was indicated by the official on the sideline that against Danvers. Yep, there you go, an eligible receiver. Wow. That would have been a first down too, Coach. My goodness. So we're going to bring it back to the, where? Back to the 37, 38. Yeah, call it the 38. So they lose 5 on that one. You repeat the down on that one. It's not the same as intentional grounding. So the Falcons use the width of the field with their receivers right and left and leave Andreas in the backfield alone. He's going to roll to his right. He's going to throw it. There's a man open. And is it intercepted? Almost. Militello went up for it. Came down with it and then lost it when he hit the ground. Took it away from Mike Nestor, the intended receiver at the Danvers 37. The Gloucester 37.
He's got a...
for the Falcons from their 39.
He's certainly got a height advantage, but they're just not getting the ball to him.
Well, to be fair, Andreas was under a tremendous rush that time. Turner will kick it, gets it away, gets hit. They're not going to call a penalty. The punt gets caught in the wind, but then gets a forward roll for Danvers. It actually hit at the 50 and then rolled all the way to the Gloucester 34.
Gee.
So there's what looked to be a horrible punt turned out to be pretty good.
Well, Gloucester's getting three guys right through the chute on the kicker.
Yeah, that was close. And
it's a change of go to the fourth quarter.
Referee Donovan immediately waved off the possibility of a flag as there was some contact, but not a whole lot. And the punter, of course, does his job and, you know, looked like he's been going down like he's been mortally wounded. All right, so it's 7-7 as Gloucester takes over in the fourth quarter. Scoreboard clock showing, we must have a timeout. Who took the timeout?
No.
Gloucester?
Penalty is a dead ball foul,
unsportsmanlike
conduct against the Falcons.
It wasn't a timeout. Really? Unsportsmanlike? I totally missed that. Oh, my goodness. So they had the ball back at the 33, I think it was. Well, 37 on the punt.
How things change quickly.
All right. And the quarter is over, so we start the fourth. Okay, I got a little confused there. And we'll set the stage here in a second.
I don't know if they were arguing about the kicker getting hit.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because there was contact. And Joe Donovan immediately, you know, waved it off. I could see that as I was watching him. So the net result is that Foster takes over to start the fourth at their own 49-yard line. So it looks like it would have been back at the 34 on what looked like a bad punt turning to be a pretty good punt. But now with the penalty, the Fishermen have the ball out to their own 49 to start this drive in a tie game. Cody is the quarterback. Enos is the wing to the left. That's a handoff to Sanfilippo, sweeping left. Gets a block, breaks it outside. 40, 30, and now it's another race to the end zone, and Sanfilippo wins it. Another touchdown for Sanfilippo. Oh, my.
And with that touchdown run, he becomes the first ever Gloucester High School running back as a junior to run for 1,000 yards.
Well, you may have heard that from Larry Burnham, first junior to get 1,000 yards. But boy, oh, boy, did he explode.
Thing is, Rick, it's just basic off-tackle plays that the first half, they didn't get any yardage, and now
they're
for touchdowns.
Second touchdown for Sanfilippo, and for Christian Sanfilippo, 12 carries and 170 yards after getting only 29 in the first half. All right, once again, Militello, is he straight on? Nope. It's a fake as the holder is going to run with the ball toward the end zone and not get there and take a terrific hit. Backup quarterback Nate Young, a junior.
Yeah, Nate's.
I think he got hit up high.
He's going to be knocked out of bounds short.
Yeah, and the operative word is knocked out of bounds. And as Larry Burnham was saying, first junior rusher for Gloucester to get 1,000 yards. And Crown's going to be carried off the field.
Yeah, he's.
Brown, Nate Young. I'm calling him Brown. Nate Young. Wow. So Gloucester will kick off at any rate after taking a 13-7 lead. And Mary Ellen. Zlisky is over there. Checking him out.
Yeah, like if you ask me, I think his bell was rung.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sure looked like it. Took a tremendous hit over there away from us. And You know, a two-point conversion, Paul, that failed. That's significant here.
Well, I think that was a called fake because the snap was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the first play, I think, of the second half here. And I'm sorry, the fourth quarter. First play of the fourth quarter. As I'm thinking turkey. Still morning on Thanksgiving Day. So now Gloucester will put the ball on the far hash mark to kick off. Leading 13-7 on two consecutive handoffs and two consecutive touchdown runs by Christian Sanfilippo. At 2:23, he ripped off a 79-yarder. And at 10:50 of this fourth, he ripped off a 41-yarder. So Militello, a long, high kick that's going to come down to Taj Coakley at the 15. Stutter steps, goes back left, goes back right, goes back left. Now he gets a lane out to the 20, almost the 30-yard line. Nice run back by Taj Coakley. Taj Coakley, 6'1", 165. He's only a sophomore. Bright future ahead for him. All right, let's see now. Where are they going to put the ball to start this drive? Thank you, Larry. Ball is at the 30. As Danvers takes over with 10:42 left to go. And now they're trailing by 6. They had the lead. Saw Gloucester tie it, and then Gloucester goes out on top. Sam Vitale in the backfield now. Whistle blows before the start. We have another timeout. Timeout for Danvers. Their second of the first half. Now, I remind you on this beautiful Thanksgiving morning, this is a presentation of MSO News Sports brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and watch high school football on Friday nights, although no more this season, on the big screen in the lounge. And we hope to have hockey and basketball there for you as well. And by Honeydew Donuts, Wally. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. First and 10, Danvers. Now they're trailing by 6, starting from their own 30. Run play up the middle, big yardage. From the size of him, looks like it's Lynch. That Lynch, Paul, I didn't see.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And significant yardage. It's at the... I can't see it. It's at the 30, just across the 35. So a 5-yard gain, almost a 6-yard gain.
You've got Vitale in the backfield with Lynch, and Andreas is split out.
Here's Vitale as a blocker, but he can run too, and he's really hard to bring down. Vitale leading the blocking. Lynch goes, breaks the tackle at the line of scrimmage, gets the first down across the 40 to the 42.
Well, you know, you give Danvers credit. They're not panicking here, and they're running their offense and being patient.
Almost.
Gloucester's going to call a timeout. And
almost the 43. And that's, I think that's Gloucester's third, Paul, of this second half with still 10 minutes and 1 second left to go. Nice crowd. There's some clouds coming up from the southwest, but a lot of people here. Danvers fans mixed in with the Gloucester fans down to the left, mostly Danvers, and Gloucester from the middle down to the right, it looks like.
Is the Danvers band still here, Rick? I can't.
Danvers band is still here, and they are playing. They're here in full force, I might say. And a lot of fans ringing maybe half of the oval going around the arc on each side. So a good crowd. The wind's still blowing. Beautiful day, but some clouds now coming up from the southwest. And there's Coach Walsh in his... did he wear shorts at Foxborough, too?
I don't remember.
I know you didn't. That was. It's always cold down there. So it's first and 10 at the 42. Danvers on the march now. And there's that direct snap to Lynch, looking right, going left, cutting it outside. 50, breaks it to the 45. And Danvers is on the move. So Lynch digging deep to get that second win, and big yardage to the Gloucester 45.
Well, I think that was planned to go off tackle, and he bounced it out.
Yeah.
He's got deceptive speed. It looks like there's a defender there to tackle him, and next thing you know, he's around him.
And you know, Paul, he takes a pounding, and as you mentioned, he's not.
Yeah, this takes
big.
A lot to go every play. I mean,
yeah.
Your adrenaline's flowing.
Today. Both sides, too. He is also a tremendous player on defense. 5'9", 165. And off, no, Lynch gets a yard, and he's met and slammed down. Tough kid. One yard gain.
I don't know if that was a face mask or I believe they had him.
Personal foul face mask.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, this is just what the doctor ordered for Danvers. I got to bring it down to the 31. There it goes. Ooh, 29.
Oh, boy.
All right, so Danvers now threatening. They started at their own 30. They're already to the Gloucester 29 with 9:20 left to go, and Danvers trailing by 6.
You know, you just wonder how much Lynch has got left in his tank here.
Bruno Abatessa, the center, 5'10", 265. And he's a junior. He's got plenty, does Lynch, as he gets another 5 yards to the 25 or maybe the 24.
Well, he's got some holes there, Strick. You know, I'm not sure if there's a scheme, but they're trapping Gloucester, but all of a sudden, there's some holes.
Another 5 yard gain for Lynch, second and 5. And the clock moving at 8:47. Big series now for each of these teams. And again, Gloucester missed the point after, so they're leading 13-7. And Keown is split to the right side. But it's a run play for Lynch, and again he picks his way, and there's a penalty marker. This goes to 23-yard line. About a 1 yard gain, but let's see what the penalty is. This is holding against Danvers. So wipe out the play and bring it back 10. So it'll be at the 34. So penalty's crucial here in this fourth quarter. One big one on Gloucester, one almost big one on Danvers at the moment. Back to the 34, so it's second and 15.
Well, Lynch and Andreas are both in the backfield now.
And again, Keown is off to the right. Now that's a lateral back to Lynch, and he is driven out of bounds. Well, he stays on his feet. Maybe he stays in bounds, but he stopped at the 36. That's a weird play.
Well, it's like an option, but he just, instead of, he pitched it at shoulder height. You know, Lynch really looks like he's kind of struggling there.
Remember Jimmy Brown, though? I don't know if you remember Jimmy Brown in Cleveland would do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He'd come back to the huddle, and he could barely walk. He's got his hands on his hips, and then he blasts it out, on the next play. And Lynch gathering his composure and his breath here. But he got hit pretty hard on the sideline again. And that was an overhand lateral, but it was backwards.
Hurry up and get this playoff.
So Vitale is going to be in the slot to the right, with Keown off to the right. Pass play, Andreas over the middle, up for grabs, incomplete at the 10. Terrific effort by Mike Nestor, defended by Enos, but Nestor had the advantage, just couldn't haul it in. That was a pretty good pass too.
Well, it's fourth and
4th and 15.
It is 4th and 17 for the Falcons.
So Larry says 17.
I mean, there's 7 minutes left, but the last two series they haven't stopped Gloucester
on one play. So Gloucester's defense is getting ready for this fourth down play, and Falcons need a big one. All right, Andrea straight back to pass, looking to his right, looking to his right, throws for Nestor, out of bounds, incomplete at inside the 10. And wow, what a turn of events. Boy, what that holding call did for Danvers, my goodness gracious. Oh, they had the ball down to the Gloucester 23, penalty pushed him back, and they got nothing after that, and the fishermen take over, my. Leading by 6 with 7 minutes left to go.
Well, I bet the play is off tackle.
Well, for Gloucester, you think? Now, why would you say that, Coach? And for Gloucester, it's, ball security at this point? This late in the game. So it's first down for the fisherman on the near hash mark. Same play. San Filippo cuts it to the middle this time. He gets some positive yardage, but only a couple.
I got to mention, too, if you're running off tackle effectively, it means that your tight end is blocking down, and he must be doing a good job, and your fullback is kicking out the defensive end, and they must be doing a good job because that play has saved them and gotten them back into this game.
All right, so they give him 3 yards and puts it at the 39. Clock continues to move at 6:24. Second and 7 for Gloucester, holding on to a 6-point lead at this point. Cody handoff to Sanfilippo, other direction. Wrapped up from behind, breaks a tackle, and short of the first down, but gets it to the 47. Maybe the 48. I'm sorry, the 43. 5 yards ahead of the thing here. So it's a 7-yard gain, and it'll be third and 3.
Under 6 minutes now.
This
forward progress will be at the
Gloucester
43, third down, 3.
No, it's only, okay. So it's third down. The ball is at the 43 with the clock moving at 5:43. Third down for Gloucester. They desperately want a first down. Of course, Danvers wants the 3-and-out. On the far hash mark, Cody with a long count. It's a handoff to Sanfilippo. Goes back to the middle. With second effort, gets the first down. He was stopped short, but he put his head down, kept his legs moving, and got it to the 48 for the first down.
What? Generally, low man wins. He got lower than the tackler. And the other thing is, once you get your shoulders squared to the line of scrimmage, you got power going up the field, and you're much tougher to tackle.
He did. He put his shoulder down and just kept surging like a projectile. So for Sanfilippo now, with the 2 touchdowns, 15 carries, 182 yards, 1,000 yards for the season as a junior. And he worked his way into the lineup like maybe three or four games into the season.
Enos was the running back, and Sanfilippo was the backup.
Couldn't keep him out, I'm telling you. So, all midway between the hash marks with the split backfield. Hand off Edward, nothing. Good defense.
They tried to trap, and Danvers all over it.
Yeah, Moriarty there. Lose a yard to the 47. 4:34 left to go. Everybody's still... I can't believe how quiet it is for this great game. What's wrong with these people? They should be yelling and screaming and calling for their team. I don't understand it. Second and 11. Clock going at 4:18. And I think we're... handoff, Sanfilippo. And he's going to be lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage and gets a yard.
Well, they're blitzing away from Sanfilippo, so that means... because he's going to run the ball. If he's lined up on the right, he's going to run it to the left, and they're blitzing opposite him.
All right, Sanfilippo gets a yard to the 48, so it will be third. Put it at the 49, he says. All right, so it'll be third down for Gloucester when play resumes. We have a timeout for Danvers. They have used 3. Gloucester has used 3 with 4 minutes left to go. Gloucester gets the 1 first down in this possession. They need another one, and of course Danvers needs the ball back. The touchdowns for Danvers. Pass from Andreas to Moriarty, covering 16 yards with 3:16 left to go in the third to finally break the ice in scoring. And that was 7-0 at that point, as Zebek put the point after. And then for Gloucester, Sanfilippo answered the next play from scrimmage. 79 yard, actually, it's the second play from scrimmage, a 78-yard run. So with 2:23 left to go, he tied the game with Militello's point after. And then Sanfilippo, the next play that Gloucester had the ball, 51 yards for a touchdown. But the fisherman missed the points after. And that's where we stand, 13-7 with 4 minutes left.
Well... Gloucester probably still can. Well, they're going to go unbalanced here.
And okay,
probably going to run sweep.
Third down and nine. Danvers with 7 men up on the line of scrimmage. Double handoff. And Enos breaks a tackle in the backfield, and he gets to the 50. Maybe to the 49.
Now, that was that crisscross play, the inside handoff.
So he does get to the 49, and he was almost stopped twice in the backfield, was able to get the line of scrimmage and some forward progress as well. But now it's fourth down and seven. And I would expect a punt with Militello lining up back inside his 40. And Vitale is back. No, it's Lynch. Lynch is back to receive the punt back at his own 15 or so. So Militello will get it away from about the 40. And long count. Good snap. And a tremendous punt, but Lynch feels it at the 17. Cuts it back to the 14, and he's tackled on a terrific open field tackle by a number we haven't seen very often, but we have Guillermo Sperani.
Well, Danvers is offside, but I would keep the punt. I wouldn't want to.
It would still be fourth and two.
Right.
But it would be at the 42. Let me see, 49. It would be at the 44 if they were to take the penalty. They're going to refuse it. Okay.
You don't want to punt over again, and 2 yards is a long ways to go. Make Danvers go the, they have to go 85 yards, so let's see them do it.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. 3:46 left to go. Ball at the Gloucester 14-yard line. I'm sorry, the Danvers 14-yard line. Not having that second cup of coffee messed me up this morning. First and 10, Danvers. Quarterback is Lynch. Direct snap. Tackled in the backfield by Philpott, but the play is blown dead. Where's the hat? There's Donovan. It is procedure against Danvers. Wow. So another big penalty against Danvers pushes it back to the 9. Wow. So Danvers has a way to go here, but they're only down by 6, and they have the horses. Lynch and Andreas, they've got to be tired. And don't forget all the other guys, too. Vitale and Nestor and... terrific lineup of players for the Danvers Falcons. Bruno Abatessa, the big guy up front, breaks him out of the huddle. He's the center. Again, 5'10", a junior, 265. Now, Andreas is split to the right side as they use the whole field, and Lynch keeps it. He's going to run, and he's going to be stopped by Cody in the backfield, and finally goes down. How come Cody was up there like that, Paul? I mean, defensive back, is that a read?
No, he's a linebacker.
Oh, linebacker, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they might have had a blitz on him. I'm not sure, but.
Where's the ball? Still at the 9?
10.
At the 10. 1 yard gain. Cody to tackle. Andreas wants to throw. It's a floater. And way over Nestor's head. Militello the closest to it for Gloucester. Way out at the Danvers 35.
Really run a lot of deep roots here.
Now it's third down and 14, and Danvers is back at their own 10-yard line with 3:09 left to go. It's still quiet, but it's third and 14. Now, quarterback is Andreas. He's got Nestor split to the near side, rolling, but he throws it to his left in the screen. They set it up, and it's complete to Lynch. Break the tackle. 20, 25, 30. And it's a big first down for Danvers.
Well, that's the kind of pass he can complete. You know, those stationary pass routes. By the way, Nate Young is done for the game. He's not going back in. And keeping him on the bench. They take your helmet away. And
he's got a jacket on, too, yeah.
Make sure there's no way you... Like, I think they're taking him inside now.
Yep. Oh, she's tremendous, Mary Ellen Zilski. Yeah. Is that the 30? So, 20-yard gain. And it's first and 10. Danvers continues to drive. They've got 70 yards now to go. Trailing by 6. Andreas wants to throw. He does. Underneath. Complete to Lynch again at the 35. And dropped at the 37 by Militello. So the Danvers hit passing game.
I gotta tell you, Lynch is.
Is heating up. It's to the 37. Another 7 yards. Right back to the line of scrimmage go the Falcons. This time they're going to put Lynch in the slot left, and they're going to split Nestor further out to the left. Two receivers in the formation. Andreas rolling to his right, gets away from Philpott. Philpott still after him, and Andreas wisely throws it away.
Oh, one of the coaches got. Yeah, one of the Danvers coaches got wiped out there.
That's not cool. Third down. Only 3 for the first down. Ball is at the Danvers 37. 2:23 left to go in the game. 13-7 Gloucester. Danvers now coming over to reset after going no huddle.
Now this is 4 down territory at this point in the game.
All right, Nestor, ball's on near hash mark, so Nestor is split to the near side, Lynch off to the left. Andreas, direct snap, as Lynch moves to the right, and is thrown.
Oh.
Nobody was looking. Militello closest to it, incomplete at the 40. Lynch was going downfield, not looking for the pass.
I mean, Lynch, he ran an out and up, and he never looked back.
Right.
Andreas threw the out.
Yep. Lynch was expecting.
I'm surprised. I thought they would run the ball. You know, they had third and three, and, you know, they'd been able to run the ball. But
Andreas was expecting Lynch to cut it to the outside, and instead he went downfield. But now it's 4th and 3, so they still can get the first down and still have plenty of time. Andreas again, the lone man in the backfield, as Vitale is the wing to the right with two wideouts to the right. Andreas throws it, complete. And I think he got the first down. That had to be Lynch. It is. What a play. Man, what a play.
You know, they ran the play into the boundary. I mean, there's really no...
First down.
The ball's on the right hash mark, and they ran trips into the boundary.
Yep.
Not a lot of space over there.
And pulled it off. Clutch play from Andreas to Lynch. They get the first down, keep the ball, 2:14 left to go. Now they're out to the 40-yard line, trailing by 6. Andreas rolling to his left this time. Sets, launches it, caught at the 49 of Gloucester. And stop right there. Is that Lynch again?
No, that was Nestor.
Nestor. His first catch, I believe.
No, that was a good throw. He threw it high. And
yep. Nestor went way up for it. 11-yard gain. The passing game working for Danvers with 2:04 left to go. Again, Andreas back to pass. Plenty of time. Let's it go. Long and incomplete. Way overthrown at the 20. Nestor out there in the pattern.
A little shocked they're not running the ball. I mean, they've certainly got Gloucester spread out. Unless Andreas' ankle is just not strong enough to run the ball. And, you know, Lynch, it looks like he's burned out.
What a player, though, Paul. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
what a player.
Credit.
He digs deeper and deeper and deeper. His shoulders are just slumped, and yet there he is out there ready again. Now he's in the backfield. Now he goes to the right. Andreas looking underneath. In and out of the hands of Nestor at the 38. Would have been well short of the first down and covered nicely by Militello. One thing about the Gloucester defenders, Paul, is they have a really good closing speed. It doesn't look like they're covering
the receivers.
Well, they're
all quick. They're all quick kids. And it's changing direction, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what surprises me about Malcolm Butler when I watch him. Our little guy, he's like stuck to these receivers, and they just can do everything. All right, so 1:55 left to go in the game. We're inside 2 minutes. another third down for Danvers, but that hasn't bothered them on this drive. Third and 10. They're doing it all. Now they've got trips to the right side. That's the far side of the field. Andreas throws it, and oh, what a catch by Nestor. Took it away from Militello, but it is short. So it'll be a fourth down, but makes the fourth down easier to get. What are they going to call an incomplete or out of bounds? I don't get that. Incomplete, so I stand corrected. Danvers takes its fourth time out. That's an incompletion, and so it will be fourth down again. They give him a 2 yard gain. I don't get that. How come they get 2 yards, Larry? How come they get 2 yards? But they gave him 2 yards. The ball was at the 49, right? All right, so it is a completion. I'm confused.
No, it's not a completion.
Then how do they get 3 yard gain?
Well, you'll have to ask the officials that one.
I don't know how you get a 3 yard gain if it's incompletion. If it's complete, they should have had more than that. Huh? Okay, complete. All right. All right. It is complete, and it's to the 46, so it's a 3 yard gain. But it's fourth down and 7 now for Danvers on the far hash mark, and I apologize for my confusion. Andreas throws it, intercepted at the 34 by Enos, returns to the 40, touch it to his left, heading to the outside, to the, he stays inbounds, puts his knee down at the 44. A little bit overthrown by Andreas, I think it was intercepted around the 30, and the ball is at the 44.
I don't know, the Danvers official is right out in the middle of the field. Danvers coach is livid about something.
I didn't see anything. I was following the ball. I was following the ball. I don't know if they were looking. Was there a hit on Andreas or
I really don't
offside?
Know. I'm not sure what.
I didn't see anything.
Official.
Well, anyway, it's first down for Gloucester at their own 44-yard line with 1:19 left to go. 13-7 is the score. And I believe that was the score of my senior year in high school. I spent 1 year at Gloucester High School. I'm not going to tell you when. So they're going to go to the knee formation. Take it. I think that's going to be it. Another play, perhaps. What a game. Oh, my goodness, what a game.
Second down 11.
Clock moving with 58 seconds and counting left to go. We'll take one more break after this one and chat a little bit about it. This has been a classic struggle between these two teams. They're going to go into the victory formation, take a knee again. We may have to do it one more time. I think they have to do it one more time with the clock moving. So, Paul, this is one of those games where you hate to see a loser. Great game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was really two plays, two off-tackle
right.
plays
right.
that went the distance, and just kind of had the feeling that Danvers just couldn't break one.
All right, that's the last snap. The ball game is over. Gloucester over Danvers, 13-7. And the fishermen are told to go to the sidelines by Coach Cirilli before they line up for the handshake. Last year, of course, we saw something different. We're not seeing it this year. We're seeing good sportsmanship and handshakes in a tremendous game that these kids are going to remember for a long time, and so are the people who attended the game. Classic football game. We'll take a break, a final break, and come back with a wrap-up on this one. It is Gloucester 13 and Danvers 7.
Hi,
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're a high school football fan, it just doesn't get any better than this. Whatever your game preference may be, whether it's Salem-Beverly, Danvers-Gloucester, or Ipswich-Hamilton-Wenham, a football game in the AM, followed by a turkey dinner with family and close friends, is just a great recipe for a perfect day. From all of us at Moynihan Lumber, enjoy this day. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Wow, what a finish, what a game. 13-7, Gloucester wins it in the annual matchup against Danvers High School. And I don't even know where to start, but Paul, good sportsmanship displayed at the end of this one.
Yeah, it was. You know, some of the Danvers coaches got hot, but I watched them and they went over and shook the hand of all the officials. So, you know, two plays for Gloucester, two off-tackle plays made a big difference.
Hey, Doc.
Hi, Doc. How are you?
Doc Enos. Doc, good you up here in the booth.
Yeah.
And crushing my hand with a handshake. Thank you.
And it just seemed like I believe that Andreas just couldn't run anymore with his ankle, so they went to the passing game, and I think that Lynch, you know, had so many carries that he just didn't have it at the end, you know, so they sent him out as a receiver, and that's just not their style. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know. So... great defenses on both sides.
And they almost pulled it off. No scoring in the first half. Second half, it opened up with 3:16 left to go third quarter. As it was, I believe, a fourth down play now. I don't have this sheet right in front of me here. But it was, it was a first down. It was a fourth down play. As they were looking to throw to the right was Danvers, and they ended up throwing back across the left to the big tight end, Kieran Moriarty, 6'3", 205, and he just lumbered in the end zone from 16 yards out, making it 7-0 after the kick. 14 plays, 54-yard drive. But then, on the second play from scrimmage, Gloucester ripped off a 78-yarder in the person of Christian Sanfilippo. 2:23 left to go in the third quarter. Gloucester tied it up 7-7. 53 seconds between the two scores, which we had had a scoreless first half, and then within 53 seconds, two touchdowns. And then Sanfilippo, another one. Next time Gloucester got their hands on the ball, one play, 51 yards. As Paul mentioned, the difference in the game. That came at 10:50. The PAT failed, which made it kind of interesting the rest of the way. Danvers stayed alive. They kept pushing it and throwing it downfield. They made a tremendous effort to try to get it. They got it down to the Gloucester 46 before the final interception by Alex Enos. Statistically, Gloucester with 186 yards. Total offense, 119 yards of total offense for Danvers. But of that 186 Gloucester yards, are you sitting down? 182 belonged to Sanfilippo.
Oh,
two touchdowns, 182 of his team's 186 yards.
Well, he's, as I understand it, he works really hard in the off season. You know, he's got you know, great balance and power. And he told me the other day, you know, when they had an off day, he was in the weight room the whole time. You know, when working out. So, congratulations to him and the team. They, you know, this, Danvers is used to winning close games like this, and Gloucester held on.
Well, a great year for the Danvers Falcons. Their final record is 8-4, and they just missed going down to Gillette, which would have been unbelievably great. So they finished 8-4. Terrific year for the Danvers Falcons and Sean Terrio in his second season, a winning record his first two seasons at Danvers. And for Gloucester now, Coach Cirilli, I believe it's his fifth season. The Fishermen finish at 9-2, winning the Northeastern Conference Small. But I think probably more importantly for them, you know, beating their arch rival Danvers to get the trophy back. So that'll do it from here. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Happy Thanksgiving, Coach. And on behalf of Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I am Rick Moore. Do have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you for winter sports. Check us out on msonewsports.com.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.